Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's go. Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Friday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
I feel good, and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters when we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. With every score change during Super Bowl 55, someone wins $50,000 in the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Square Sweepstakes. See rules and enter for free at RocketMortgageSquares.com. To Target Demo Friday, so tweet at me, DA on CBS, or post on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDAShow. You'll see the Target Demo Friday meme whipped up by the Wizard of Watch DA Andrew Kaplan, which is a takeoff of the Brady Breeze History Channel meme of both those guys, these really old guys that Brady tweeted out earlier in the week, where it's me, Mraz, really old, really wretched, and really horrifying looking. So you can add your Target Demo Friday information when you see that meme, and I'll read through those coming up here in about 40 minutes from now. By the way, Mraz said after yesterday's Mickey Mantle rookie card sold as the highest priced baseball card ever, 1952, it went for $5 million. He would go for a Babe Ruth Red Sox card. I didn't know if that existed. Indeed, it does. There is one or two different Babe Ruth Red Sox cards from 1916 and 1917. So, Mraz, you have your wish, $5 million. If you had to spend it a card, you get a Red Sox Babe Ruth 1917 Collins McCarthy card.
Yeah, and the link you sent said it only went for $100,000, which means I'd probably be outbidding myself. Isn't that crazy? We're getting Mickey Mantle for $5 million, and that's going for $100,000? That doesn't seem right.
It does not seem right, no. I like that 1933 Babe Ruth card as well. The one that you're looking at is black and white. I like the color cards, the full color cards. So I think it was the 1935 Gowdy or the 1933 Gowdy. I really like that one if I was going to go for a Babe Ruth card. I'd also say there's a couple of rookie cards that I would think would be really awesome. A Willie Mays rookie or a Jackie Robinson rookie. Those would be amazing. Again, those don't go for $5 million. I think a Jackie Robinson's like half a mil or something like that that I saw. Or a Joe DiMaggio. That's from like the late 40s, the 1948 Leaf, where you start getting the color, post-war color cards. Those would be the types of cards that I would go for. That stupid super refractor Mike Trout nonsense, get it out.
How much do you think a Joe DiMaggio card of him in the shower would go for?
I once gave Joe DiMaggio a shower.
If you had a baseball card,
I gave Joe DiMaggio a shower.
That's Pete Rose on this show.
If Pete Rose was giving Joe DiMaggio a shower and that was encapsulated in a baseball card, that could go probably for 10 mil.
Actually, that was Pete Rose, I think, on WFAN with Mike Francesa talking about it. Then when we had Pete Rose on, we asked him about his story about showering with Joe DiMaggio.
I don't know how in the hell he hit 56 straight games carrying that thing around.
Wrong take.
Yeah, that happened on this show.
Yep.
That happened. They were on a USO tour, I believe. And for some reason, Joe DiMaggio, he had like stepped in a well or stepped in some type of, I don't know, some type
like
of.
I think it was like an outdoor shower in Vietnam or something.
Yeah, and Joe DiMaggio was like limping and in a cast or something. It sprained his ankle, and so Pete Rose had to help him into the shower or something like that.
I gave Joe DiMaggio a shower.
Don't call him the hit king for nothing.
So we were talking about NFC and AFC championship game appearances. How crazy is this? Drew Brees has been to 3 NFC championship games. Rodgers, 4. Tom Brady, 13. Connor tweets, DA, how come Aaron Rodgers gets crushed by people for only being in 4 NFC championship games when other quarterbacks like Brees, Big Ben, Rivers, Russell Wilson have been to the same amount or less but never get talked about? He should have 2 Super Bowl appearances, and the other 2, the defense just got roasted. I think there is an expectation of Aaron Rodgers to have delivered more in the playoffs than he has because he is viewed higher than those other guys. Again, I'll go back to something that is oftentimes said by observers around the NFL. Brady may be the greatest of all time, but Aaron Rodgers is the most talented of all time. And that Brees has done what Brees has done by virtue of an incredible processor of a brain, incredible work ethic in terms of keeping his body light and healthy and flexible, and knowledge of the game and the offense, and the ability to play great when it matters most in tight spots. But that Brady couldn't make 30% of the incredible throws that Aaron Rodgers makes. And that because Rodgers has done things so often that has left us mouth agape, speechless, the expectation is he should have more playoff success. And I don't disagree with that take. Rodgers, unlike anybody I think ever, leaves you going, did you just see that throw? He makes throws. Now, Patrick Mahomes is this type of guy now as well. But Rodgers authored a book on making throws that you just didn't think you'd ever see again, have seen before, or were possible. You know, rolling out, defender in your face, off balance, against the grain, 42 yards down the sideline, exactly to the inch of where it has to be, caught by the wide receiver, 2 feet in bounds, first down. There are just moments. I mean, the Hail Marys that Aaron Rodgers has thrown. There are just moments in throws where you're just saying to yourself, I've never seen anybody make that throw before. And he does that regularly and effortlessly. And so I think because of that, it's not Big Ben, who's been great, but Big Ben doesn't leave you gasping for air. Oh my God, can you believe what Big Ben just did? Big Ben is kind of like a dump truck. He's not a Ferrari. When you look at Drew Brees, Brees is phenomenal as a surgeon. Brees looks at the offense, looks at the defense, understands every, his spatial recognition and his understanding of concepts within an offense and on the football field. The chessboard itself, like Brady, is where the science of it for Brees works. But Brees doesn't leave you gasping for air because you can't believe the ballet that he just put on. Russell Wilson is dynamic in running around and making things happen. And yes, his deep ball can be beautiful. But again, Russell Wilson is still not what Rodgers is in terms of just sheer beauty on the football field, nor has he done it for as long as Aaron Rodgers. I mean, Rodgers took over in 2008. We're 13 years of Rodgers' brilliance at this point in time. So there's more time for him to have succeeded more. I find it disappointing that we've only seen Rodgers in 1 Super Bowl, but I don't put it all on him. Clearly, I mean, he dragged that Packers team to that NFC championship game against the Falcons, and he just couldn't do it again. And he put them in position to succeed, and their defense blew it, and the special teams blew it in that NFC championship game in Seattle. I mean, minimum, he should have been to the 2014 Super Bowl that the Seahawks got to against the Patriots. Minimum, because you have to just catch the onside kick there. And if he has maybe a slightly better coach by the end in Green Bay instead of Mike McCarthy, Matt LaFleur gets there a year or two earlier, you know, there's probably another run in there for Rodgers. So there's no doubt there's a feeling that there's meat on the bone of Rodgers' career. But I think that he gets ridiculed, unlike some of the other guys, because the expectations are higher. He's better than all of those guys. When the book is written on NFL history, we're not going to say that Ben Roethlisberger or Russell Wilson or Phillip Rivers are one of the five greatest quarterbacks ever. We won't. They might be in Canton. They won't be one of the five greatest ever. Drew Brees will have the records, but Drew Brees didn't even make the NFL's 100 team. He's not going to be considered one of the top five ever. Rodgers could. He could. If he wins another Super Bowl and has a great run in doing it, he could be right there with Unitas and Montana and Brady and Manning. He could. That could be the fourth or fifth guy on that list, Aaron Rodgers. That's why the expectation is hotter, the bar is higher, and the criticism is louder. Hit me up on Twitter, DA on CBS. Again, DA on CBS. Let me step aside right now and take a break. And on the flip side, we're still efforting Billy White Shoes Johnson on this Friday before the playoffs. Hopefully we'll track him down. Also, we'll discuss the quarterback duel between Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. Is it the best QB matchup of the weekend? That includes Brees and Brady. That's coming up next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Big upside.
Well, oh, by oh, that's what I wanted to bring up, sir.
Yeah.
The black hole. I know them very well. Why isn't Vegas going to allow them to tailgate? I heard about 6 months ago. What is going on? Did you hear about that?
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Glad you're with us on a Target Demo Friday, everybody. And thanks so much for being with us all week long, leading up until championship, or I should say divisional round weekend of the NFL playoffs. Next weekend is going to be championship weekend. And I'll be with you on Sunday for Sunday morning football. Vikings and Chiefs and Bears pass rushing great Jared Allen's going to join us. Sunday morning football beginning at 10 a.m. Eastern time, 7 Pacific, right here on CBS Sports Radio. Tell your smart speaker to play CBS Sports Radio or stream us on your phone if your local affiliate does not carry us, or on your computer by going to CBSSportsRadio.com or the CBS Sports app. We will respond and react to the two games on Saturday and preview the two games on Sunday. Jared Allen, our guest this morning on the show, or I should say Sunday morning on the show. Mraz, 9 years ago today, speaking of Aaron Rodgers having never played in a championship game at Lambeau, 9 years ago today was perhaps his greatest crack at another championship after 2010 when he won. They went 10-6 and were a wild card. In 2011, they were 15-1, the number one seed of the 9-7 Giants went to Lambeau Field. 9 years ago today, what do you remember about that day and what you ate that night?
I could tell you 100% I made some sheet nachos that day, and it was the first time I had sprinkled in ground chicken on the nachos. I remember that because I remember being very dicey, and I used it the same taco seasoning as the beef. I remember the Hakeem Nicks Hail Mary, and I had very fluffy socks on, and I actually slipped because my mother made the mistake of polishing her wood floors in the basement or the den, and I slipped and busted my hump. As that ball came down, and I just remember the second half becoming a big party, and also distinctly remember there was about five calls that was so blatantly obvious went the wrong way against the Giants, and somehow they prevailed, eventually get a big fumble recovery, and the route was on in the second half. One of my favorite days. Nachos were excellent. We also ordered some wings from Hooters that day, and it was before Hooters went naked wings, so all you have is the extra breading, and my dad, really not a hot fan, loves the mild, and we basically told him, all you did was order fried chicken here, there's no sauce. So it was definitely the Hooters wing. I remember that everything about it. And then my dad went next door to the Packer fans' house and put a bunch of Land O'Lakes American cheese slices all over their front door as kind of a payback because they stole the Giants flag the night before.
Oh, my.
So I remember the day vividly, if you're asking me.
Yeah, seriously. Again, Rodgers had won the Super Bowl the year earlier in 2010. That was only his third year starting. And so it kind of felt as though, wow, this guy is on a trajectory to win many Super Bowls. And so they follow that up in 2011 with a 15 15-1 season. 15-1. And a 9-7 Giants team that was 7-7 going into week 16 against the New York Jets. We're 7-7. Beat the Jets to move to 8-7. Won in week 17 to go to 9-7. And then beat the Falcons. And nobody cared about the Falcons back then at home in the wild card round. And most people figured, okay, it ends this week. It ends in the divisional round against the 15-1 Packers. And that the Giants couldn't do it again, which they had done 4 years earlier, going to Lambeau and winning in the NFC Championship game. They did. They then went on to the NFC Championship game after that at San Francisco's Candlestick Park. Mm-hmm. That was Eli Manning versus Alex Smith. The Giants win that game, end up in the Super Bowl, and they are the only team ever to, at 9-7, win a Super Bowl. And that was Rodgers' greatest team that he ever played on, I think. Now, he went to NFC Championship games after that, but he did most of the heavy lifting. That team was a better version of the championship team of the year earlier. And I wonder, do you think that that loss changed the trajectory of his career and Mike McCarthy's career? I mean, had they gone back-to-back, now they would have ended up playing the Patriots, and who knows? I mean, the Giants beat the Patriots. Maybe the Packers would not have. But do you think if Rodgers and McCarthy win back-to-back 2010-2011, there's more winning and there's more Super Bowls after that? Or do you think that just would have been it and then the same arc happens?
I don't know about the same Super Bowls, but I think there's a more of a leash for Mike McCarthy if he's defeated Bill Belichick and Tom Brady in a Super Bowl and has two rings under his belt with Aaron Rodgers. I think Mike McCarthy is either now just leaving or he's still the head coach of the Packers had they gone and won that all.
Yeah, tough to fire a guy that had won two Super Bowls back-to-back. Joining us here on the show is one of the greatest kick returners in NFL history. He is a College Football Hall of Famer as well. He was named to the NFL's 75th anniversary team and the NFL's 100th anniversary team just last year. Joining us here on the show is Billy White Shoes Johnson. Billy, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Good morning to you guys.
Good morning, man. It is so great to have you here on the show. I never asked you, because I haven't spoke to you since, what was it like to be named to the 100th team of all time, the 100th anniversary team, with all of the greatest players ever over a century of football?
You know, it was awesome. It really was. It was, you don't ever think about things like that when you enter the league or just playing football, even when you're in Little League. I mean, you dream of it, but it was one of those things. You were in awe of that, and you felt honored and blessed.
Many of the players that I've spoken to that were on that team said one of the best things was being with the guys that were on that team and just swapping stories and being amongst the legends and feeling like, wow, this is kind of one big, huge fraternity party. Did you feel that way as well?
Of course. I mean, and you know the stories that have been generated from just people coming together and just talking about the past and how fortunate we all are to have been selected. And it's just one good time, just like sitting around a campfire, I guess.
Yeah.
And sharing stories, but just knowing and being appreciated for the work that has been done over the years.
Pretty amazing. You know, you were defined by your white shoes and your funky chicken dance in the end zone, knocking those knees together, and those highlights are available on YouTube and shown forever for NFL films. And at the time, were you breaking out and being a personality that maybe the NFL wasn't quite ready for, or were you encouraged back in the 70s to just be yourself?
No, I wasn't either. I was just having fun. I mean, and definitely not trying to be a trendsetter in the NFL. At my size and coming in from where coming into the league from where I came from is one of those things that, hey, I was just glad to be there. I wasn't trying to do anything in white shoes. Shoot. I'm just trying to keep a job, as they say. I never thought of trying to be a trendsetter.
You came in 1974 and were a 15th round pick. I mean, there's only seven rounds of the NFL these days. You were in the 15th round coming into the NFL. So what was your expectation coming into your first training camp with the Oilers?
oh, man, you know, I came in at a good time. And I had everything to gain, nothing to lose. What the heck? They never, you know, said I would last the past a week or two. And if I did make the team, no more than a year or two. So, you know, of course, I was overwhelmed and wide-eyed, bushy-tailed at that time coming in, you know, something that people often dream about doing. But for me, it was one of those things that, hey, you're getting an opportunity, so try and make the best of it.
You've got a birthday coming up in just a couple of weeks, and I'm wondering, when you turn 69, can you still do the funky chicken? Will we see you at the birthday party doing the funky chicken?
You know, I can still do that. That's a given, but it's okay. Going to cost you. See, that's... it's going to cost you. Don't do it for free now. You know, I get a little older. I might have to get some insurance policy. Well, of course.
What do you consider your favorite play? Was it the Hail Mary for the Falcons? Was there something that happened with the Oilers? What is your favorite play?
Gosh, there's been a bunch of them. I mean, it's, you know, if you sit down and go through, I guess, some of the games you played in, I think one of the better games for me was playing in Cleveland when the ground was completely frozen, returning a punt on a real ice rink and in Cleveland. And, of course, there's a Hail Mary. But it's all fun because it's all turning the tide of a game and putting us in position to win.
How do you return? How do you return a punt or a kick on a totally frozen field? How do you find your footing? How do you make the cuts?
Man, hey, your guess is as good as mine. All I know is that if they're coming after me, they're the ones who have to break down. If they break down too soon, I can run by them. If they're not in position to make a tackle, hey, it's to my advantage. And all the guys had to do was just, you know, touch them, and they would go by me. So it was to my advantage. But, you know, I don't know, to be honest with you. I mean, we had the old broom ball shoes, which was like basketball shoes on a frozen field. It's the only way that I would be able to explain the footing. And we got them, and I said, oh, man. And they were white, too, by the way. So so I was able to keep my footing and just continue to move on.
Pretty cool. Billy White Shoes Johnson is our guest this morning here on the show. Getting ready for the playoffs, is there a game that you're circling this weekend that you're really looking forward to?
Yes, I'm looking for the Ravens and the Bills.
Okay, why so?
Well, because I think both of them are up and coming. They're hungry. Both teams have something to play for. Trying to change the tone of each team's of the past years. Ravens had a great chance. Had a great year last year with the MVP Lamar Jackson. It didn't pan out for them, and the Bills turned the program around. And now they want to solidify it, showing people that it's not a fluke. So it's interesting to see the outcome there. They both have a lot to play for.
No doubt. It might be the best quarterback matchup of the weekend. We have Breeze versus Brady, but Lamar Jackson versus Josh Allen, these guys are in their primes. They're just getting to their primes, and we get to see them in the playoff stage. When you see Lamar Jackson and do the things that he does, did you feel like it was a surprise that he developed into this type of quarterback? Because a lot of people thought that he would only be a running QB and never really be a passing QB, but he's proven those people wrong.
Well, he did, and I was glad he did, and I'm glad he never ran a 40.
Yeah.
Because they might have tried to put him somewhere else. I had a little insight there because I knew some people who saw him play Louisville and knew him personally. They knew he could play on that level as a quarterback, and I trusted their judgment. And seeing him throw the ball, I mean, he throws when he has to throw. He does what he's supposed to do, so I wasn't surprised. Now, what I was surprised was to see how well he ran the ball. And the only one who I could compare him to in that phase is Michael Vick. So when I saw him run, oh, boy, and get the job done, I said, yeah, he's something special.
Thing of beauty. Yeah, watching Lamar Jackson run through broken field, man, is a thing of beauty. Billy White Shoes Johnson joining us this morning on the show. Now, you're working on behalf of Pork Rind Appreciation Day and Southern Recipe Small Batch and Gridiron Greats. And we have spoken to a number of your colleagues before that are part of this, and this is a way to help supplement the incomes for a lot of the retired NFL players. And you've got a great group of guys together that have banded together and all with Mike Ditka as well. So how's that experience been?
It's been good. I had a chance to meet Mike, and, you know, up close and personal, other than him coaching the other side of the field when I got involved with this charity and what he does, because it's fantastic. And I mean, that charity fund really helps guys, former players, you know, who leave the field in their, you know, whether it's medical or mental, I mean, physical or mental, I mean, it's there for them. And he does a good job with it. And, you know, it's great to be on a team with a winner and a Hall of Famer. So it's really unique that over the years, he's been doing this, I guess, with Southern Batch Recipes, Small Batch Recipes, for the last 12 years. So it's great to be involved with something that's positive, especially nowadays.
Yep. The Pork Rind Company, Southern Recipe Small Batch. You can check out online at southernrecipesmallbatch.com. Also, Gridiron Greats Assistance Fund is a really important charity, as Billy was just talking about, with all these former players. There's more official information on that. And you can check out Pork Rind Appreciation Day by going to porkrinds.com and entering to win. It is very cool to catch up with you, Billy. Thanks so much for the time this morning. Enjoy divisional round weekend.
Well, thank you, and you guys too. I look forward to hearing and seeing some good things on this weekend.
Yeah, us too. Thanks so much. Billy White Shoes Johnson joining us this morning on the show. I think he's right. I think this Bills and Ravens game is the most interesting quarterback matchup of the weekend. Undoubtedly, watching Aaron Rodgers do his thing is brilliant, but watching Goff on the other side, eh. In the AFC, watching Patrick Mahomes spin is amazing. Baker Mayfield's obviously very good, but it's not Brady Breeze. Brady Breeze has the history, but it's not Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen. And I say that because either Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen will be breaking through a level that they've never been to before, the AFC Championship game. Lamar finally proved that he could win a playoff game this past week. And Josh Allen did the same thing. And now these guys are on the doorstep. One of them is going to go to the AFC Championship game, and they're both in their primes. They're both the most important piece of the puzzle for their teams. When Lamar Jackson can be himself and dynamic, etc., impossible to shut down and catch. For Josh Allen, he has taken that step from what's he going to do next, what interception is he going to throw, to we can put the game on his back and he can carry us. Now, he nearly made a crucial mistake at the end of that game against the Colts last week, but they survived it, and Josh Allen clearly put them in position to win by building that 14-point lead up. So I think this is the best matchup of the quarterbacks this weekend, because they're entering their primes and one of them is going to get to a place they've never been before with a victory. Standing by with our headline this morning is Andrew Bogish. Mr. Bogues, good morning.
DA, good morning again. So all of a sudden, we're hiring head coaches everywhere right now in the NFL. Niners defensive coordinator Robert Saleh, Titans OC Arthur Smith. They were the only candidates to get a second interview for the Jets head coaching job. Saleh got the job last night, and now Smith has reportedly been offered the Falcons job. All of that after the Jaguars lured Urban Meyer off a TV set yesterday. In the front office, the Panthers have hired Seattle VP Scott Fitterer as their GM. Rams college scouting director Brad Holmes is the Lions' new GM. So if Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson is the best QB matchup of the weekend, I'd say Jared Goff, Aaron Rodgers, has to be number two. Goff has the latest on Goff's right thumb.
Feels good. I'm in a good place with it. There are some, you know, over time, you know, just over and over hitting it, there is a, you know, a slight soreness, but nothing that's hindering me in any way. But I think, you know, overall it's progressing.
No mystery this week. Goff will start tomorrow at Lambeau. No John Wolford. Safety net, though, he is out thanks to last weekend's neck injury. Nikola Jokic, front and center again in a Nuggets win.
Curry has it. He has his pass deflected and stolen. Loose ball, Jokic. Off to Monte Morris. One dribble. Layup is up and in, and there it is. Nikola Jokic, triple-double, number 5 on the season. That assist coming from 65 feet
Jason
away.
Jason Kosmicki on Nuggets Radio. Jokic, 23 points, 14 rebounds, 10 assists, and a 114-104 decision over the Warriors. Ben Simmons had 12 points, 10 boards, 10 assists in the Sixers' 125-108 home win over the Heat. The Pacers rolled through Portland 111-87, and the Rockets won their first game since trading James Harden 109-105 in San Antonio. off the court, the Washington Wizards COVID outbreak, now reportedly at five players testing positive. The Yankees reportedly closed to re-signing second baseman DJ LeMahieu. The Mets were reportedly closed to adding reliever Brad Hand, but Ken Rosenthal now walking that back a little bit, saying his original tweet might have gotten a little too far ahead of itself, saying only now that they are talking about a deal, but nothing is necessarily imminent. That's College hoops, Pepperdine playing for the first time since December 23rd. Thanks to COVID, they had to face number one Gonzaga last night, and they lost 95-70. And on night two of the NHL season, the Wild were 4-3 winners in OT in L.A. Same final, also in OT, the Jets over the Flames. San Jose a 4-3 shootout win in Arizona, and the Bruins topped the Devils 3-2 in a shootout. D.A., back to you.
Excellent. Thank you, Bogues. Great week of work here on the show. I appreciate it. Now, Mraz, the meme that Cap whipped up for Target Demo Friday is a takeoff of Brady and Breeze that Brady's Photoshop team did earlier in the week that said history awaits on the History Channel, and it had an old Brady versus an old Breeze.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Cap did the same thing. He aged us digitally. I have a receding hairline and gray hair and a long, white, flowing beard, kind of like Santa Claus. You look like a 100-year-old guppy. That face, that head, the head is pointy, your jowls are sunken, your eyes are your nose is big. What do you think about how you look there? Do you think that's how you'll look in 40 years?
There's a two-part of this, DA. Number one, I'm happy to be alive in it and that he didn't just put you up and then like a casket with me in it. So I think, or an urn. So I think that's good. But here's the disappointment. This goes back to a 12 DA counting from last year. It looks like I can't smile anymore. And that makes me kind of sad because I really love smiling and I love making people happy. And if I get to the age that my jowls have gotten so sunken that I can't muster up half a smirk, I mean, what has really happened with me in life? I don't want to get to the point where I can't smile, even as wrinkly and as old as I might be. So, Kaplan, just take that into consideration with the age process, that I am always out here to make people smile, no matter if face and science tells me I can't anymore.
I don't know how Cap made yours. With mine, I can see kind of dolled up the, you know, the forehead, the receding hairline, head of the beard. But for you, it almost looks like you used some type of aging technology. And used, remember, the picture of you looking scared and worried when you painted on your eyebrows.
He loves that. That is his crying Jordan meme. He definitely loves that. The only thing I could compare mine to, and I could be completely way off, it feels like he used either like a Martin Lawrence or an Eddie Murphy look from the movie Life when they get really old. That's kind of the face and the wrinklage and the sunken jowls I have. And Kaplan, look, he is the Wizard of Watch DA, so maybe he somehow got one of those images, sunk my stupid face into it. I don't know, but it just, if that is the real aging process of me, it's kind of a depressing look on life I'm going to enter this week.
Although you're a little thinner there than you are now.
Sure, and maybe that's where Cap knew he had to, you know, pull back the waist just to make me get through stomaching looking at this, because if my face looks like that, the least I could do is lose a little weight, but maybe my jowls don't allow me to chew like I used to anymore. Maybe that's why, and I'm leading
this. I was going to say you should be complimented by the bottom half of this picture, because he made you into, I don't know, like a farmer or something, so we know that you're not a labor-intensive guy. You're not going to do work with your hands, so he gave you some biceps, some forearms, and a little more svelte midsection.
I wouldn't mind in retirement running a pumpkin patch or something. I think I could farm and get a little forearm strength there. Maybe that is something in my future.
You can check out this meme by going to our Twitter page, DA on CBS, or our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheDAShow. I will read through Target Demo Friday next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
It's a Friday fiesta. Here's what our listeners in the Target Demo are up to.
All right, everybody. Thanks for the tweets and thanks for the Facebook messages. We begin on Twitter, where Mac and Bear says, good morning, DA and crew. I'm listening on Sirius XM, channel 206. Driving locally in Newport, Delaware. I always appreciate you guys. Mraz, don't eat any chicken bones this weekend. Beam me up. Have a great weekend, guys. Jeffrey tweets, shout out from Philly. Listening on the radio.com app, ready for more playoff football this weekend with a cheesesteak each day. Hashtag beam me up. Daryl's listening on radio.com in Kansas, working on a bathroom remodel. Going to boil up some shrimp for my Bills on Saturday, then burgers on Sunday for the Chiefs. Hashtag shrimp cocktail. Hashtag good burgers.
Maybe some shrimp cocktail. Good burgers.
Lonnie says, happy Friday. I'm at work listening on the radio.com app, getting ready for the race here, the best in the West, and looking forward to some playoff football. Send me into the weekend the mothership way.
No.
Kevin tweets, I'm looking forward to the weekend, and I've got the weekend off. Been working 12 days straight, 14 hours a day. I'll have some cold beers, unhealthy snack foods, and football, please. Go Browns, baby. Hashtag zap zap.
No.
Against the grain tweets. Drew Brees could potentially finish off with a heck of a playoff resume as well of QBs defeated, having already beaten Peyton. He could potentially defeat Brady this Sunday, Aaron Rodgers the following week, and then the young buck Pat Mahomes. You know, if the cards fall into place. Could be. Never know. Eric tweets, I've got the day off and I'm watching on Twitch today from Green Bay. I also have the front yard prep for this week's game. Go Pack Go!
I can't talk!
Captain Augie tweets, I'm from Port Canaveral, Florida. Headed around the Florida Keys on our way to the Bucks and Saints game in New Orleans. Fishing different spots along the way. Listening on radio.com. Hashtag beam me up!
No.
Man, what a way to go see a game. What a weekend. Sailing around the Gulf of Mexico, going fishing, and then heading over to New Orleans for Brady versus Brees. Phenomenal. Dave's in Hershey, PA, watching the playoffs at home with a steak. With all the Hershey's bets and talk this morning, I'm now going to go to the chocolate world this weekend. I need a list of Mraz's junk food recommendations from there. Hashtag Target Demo Friday.
I can't talk.
Fighting Amish tweets. I'm listening on 96.5 in Harrisburg, starting low key with Flyers Friday, picking it up with Brew Ball and my legendary basement buffet on Saturday. Leading into rinse and repeat Sunday, recovery mode Monday. That's gonna suck, fellas. Holla, y'all!
No!
Paul is on the radio.com app, making teeth at the dental lab, preparing to smoke a pork butt and some bourbon-infused smoked baked beans and building some custom furniture on my birthday weekend. Here's to a Chiefs win on Sunday. Target down. Sounds great. Billy's in Idaho on Facebook. He loves listening to us every morning on SiriusXM 206. Too bad Mraz picks on AB so much. Watching the game from home. Hashtag beam me up. Edward on Facebook is in Oregon. Got you guys on the radio every morning before work, but I don't hear you guys read this because I start work at 5 a.m. I'll be watching the game at the Angry Beaver, a local bar in Corvallis, home of Oregon State. Hashtag beam me up. Hashtag go Beavers. Hashtag girlfriend. Austin is in Boise. Listening to you guys every morning on the way to work. I'll throw a brisket on the smoker this weekend and watch all the games from the couch. Have a great weekend, guys. Target demo.
Girlfriend!
Denise is in Harrisburg, listening on 96.5 as well. We'll be having nachos, winter ales, and hopefully see Breeze and the boys get a win. Praying Mraz will forego the chicken wings this weekend. I'm still horrified by that. Target
chorizo!
Demo. Chorizo! Choking on a chicken bone. Doug's in Western PA, listening at work on radio.com. The Steelers are toast, so I'll be keeping up with the Penguins this weekend. Maybe some air fryer Oreos. Bring back Canadian bacon. Hashtag permission aboard. Hashtag on the mic. Adam is dragging his butt through the last day of work. Last day of work for the week up here in Anchorage. Looking forward to watching my Saints hopefully stomp out Brady and the Bucks for the third time this season. Target demo.
With bacon.
Frank is in Greenville, PA. I listen almost daily when the time allows, usually on the way to work. As a Steelers fan, I'll be spending the playoff in a unique state. It'll be spent in a drunken stupor making paper cutouts of Steelers jerseys to paste onto popsicle sticks, which will then be held up over top of the Browns players on my TV screen while I deliver my own fictitious commentary. On a serious note, I can't even be mad. Congrats to the Browns and their fans. It's been long enough. Frank, well done. Way to be a good sport. Brian's in Dirty Myrtle, South Carolina, repping Bill's Mafia, CBS Sports Radio 100.3, The Team, hashtag Chance Up. Chanticleers. Rob is in Hamilton, Ontario, on the CBS Sports app, making sure I get lots of nap time gumming down my pizza and wings with a big gold glass of Metamucil, LOL, hashtag Old Guys Rule, beam me up out of here, DA. And that is your... And that is your Target Demo Friday. Let's get to your epic fail. Your epic fail is Mraz and Pete the Body arguing over what would be a cool addition to Citi Field since Mets ownership asked for suggestions. Here it is.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
One, I wanted a Kiner's Corner bar in left field. I thought that'd be a nice little touch.
Kiner's Corner was at a
And then a Empire State Building, a giant replica of the Empire State Building hammer game. So whenever a Met hit a home run, someone who's a designated fan for the day can hit that hammer game and win some money, win a prize, win something like that.
A seafood platter for all tonight.
Well, they do have the apple, though. The apple comes
out. Please hit apple. They already have a home run
bit. Something else to it.
Oh, how many times are you going to do something when a home run gets hit? An what apple gets raised? Now you're going to have somebody come from Section 343 to wave a sledgehammer and hit up and an Empire State? Like, where are you even coming up with this?
Hey, they want to be creative ideas.
And by the way, what do you want, a fan to sit his ass out in center field with a big sledgehammer for nine innings? What if the Mets don't homer? Then what? The guy wasted his time for 3 hours at the game?
No, it's you make it an experience.
Blue Jumbo! Blue Jumbo!
What experience? What are you going to put a photo booth for a baseball card next to him? Kiner's Corner Bar. Yeah, Pete wants it. Then the moment he pays $14 for a Bud Light, he'll be the first one cursing out the bartender after. Your ideas stink. You know what? The more I read DA's tweets, DA was on. Your ideas stink.
What are the other ideas? Let's paint the seats. Okay, everyone has that idea.
That's all you need, baby.
Right. Okay, Pete, but you don't have to have an idea, just have an idea.
You know,
have the idea be
get
good.
Get out. Enough of you. Why don't you go get another shirt made for yourself?
Yeah, Pete had a third idea. Get the squirt gun into the clown's mouth and have balloons.
The
too.
Clown being Bobby Valentine.
Yeah.
And it blows Andy Chavez up the wall.
Some summertime on mind.
How about a day where we have all our personalized Twitter handles on hats and they give them out?
Oh. Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
This morning, Mraz is wearing a personalized hat that says at Mraz CBS, so his Twitter handle on his hat, and a personalized shirt or close to it. His wife bought him a t-shirt that says -6.5, which is clearly a spread, but just a random generic spread of any game, apparently.
Not his weight loss.
And Mraz is wearing it, I guess, in honor of the up the gut picks. Have you come around, Mraz, on Bilotti's idea of when a home run is hit at Citi Field, there's a giant Empire State Building, and one lucky fan smashes a mallet like a carnival, and the thing goes up, and maybe that fan can win something?
No, in fact, I'm embarrassed that we're associated with him on the show, that he texted or tweeted the Mets owner that was his idea, as if Steve Cohen was going to go, this guy nailed it. No, it's a terrible idea.
From the guy that can't keep his mouth shut.
All right. Pete, just have a nice weekend and rethink your ideas.
Get lost.
Come to the table Monday with something.
Enough for you. How about you get a guest?
Oh, I'm sorry. Did I miss Jack Youngblood yesterday? Did I miss Billy White Johnson today? Oh, okay. All right. Okay. All right.
Have
no
a great weekend.
Yeah. You really nailed it with Lock and Foro when I was off that week, huh? That was an easy text. Silence is deafening.
This is how we're going to end off the week here, guys. You guys at each other's throats.
No, I wanted to have a nice weekend. He crushed me. And you set us up. You knew what you were doing.
Pal.
No, you started it. You tweeted at Cohen. Just have a nice weekend. Everybody relax. No chicken bones.
All right, everybody. Stay safe. If you do have wings this weekend, do not eat the bone. Don't swallow the bone. Don't swallow a shard of the bone. Be careful. Chew your food. It could get lodged in your esophagus and you could cough it up on Monday's show. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Thanks to Pete the Body Bellotti on the Wheels of Steel, an audio director. The guy that's got great ideas. And Andrew Bogish on your headlines. Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch, DA. Be good to one another. I'm DA, the Mothership Disconnects.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.